Hello and welcome to the seventh episode of the TFG1 podcast, recorded on March 6th, 2009. I am your host, Michael Blanchard. Hello, everybody. This is Michael Blanchard with the TFG1 podcast. Welcome to episode 7. Let's see. I'm all moved into my new apartment. It's a nice two-bedroom apartment, very big. I have four closets, tons of storage space. My bedroom is actually three times as larger as the original apartment I had, the one bedroom I had over, down the street. Not really too much to talk about. I kind of pretty much goofed on episode 6. There's nothing wrong with the episode itself. I just thought I hadn't finished recording it, and apparently I did, and I sent it to Steve/Megatron from PredaconEmpire.com, from the All Things Transformers podcast. Which apparently I had already did. I thought I only had a partial episode anyway. It's been kind of stressful, kind of fun. Last couple weeks I just celebrated my birthday. I'm now 29 years old. Oh shit, I'm 1 year closer to 30. Holy fuck. I am all moved in. There are boxes everywhere. My desk is in the living room, like it was in the old apartment, so my living room will probably be my office, most likely, because the second bedroom is too small to hold the desk. The master bedroom is very, very large, and I like it. It's really cool. Had to give up my DirecTV, which sucks. Really liked having them as a service provider for television. I'm back with Insight Cable, which basically sucks balls. I've made several purchases this week. I believe it was the 10th of February, I think. Either the 10th or the 11th, I don't know. Go over to the PredaconEmpire.com forums and look at the host blogs under the podcast network, and you'll see my adventure. I went to Walmart and Target. I wanted to go to Subway for lunch that day. So I went up to Walmart and went and looked at their electronic stuff, went and looked at their toys, and their... Their Transformers shelf is very lacking. The only animated deluxe figures they had was Bumblebee and, Blockhead. Which I guess Bulkhead could be a Blockhead, but yeah, Bulkhead, Bumblebee, they mostly had Activators. They did have two of the Transformers Universe 25th Anniversary Prime figures, Optimus Prime. I was going to pick that up, but I didn't want to have to shell out $70 for it. At the time, I needed to spend my money on more prudent things. So after pretty much striking out at Walmart, went to Target, which is right across the street from Walmart, and their Transformers shelf was filled with Universe stuff, Universe Cheetor, Universe Dinobot. They actually had two Universe Cyclonuses, which I got one of them. I was going to get them both, seeing as how they were the last two that were there, as far as I could tell, but... Excuse me. In the interest of saving money, I didn't. And let's see what else was over there. I saw the 25th anniversary Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle figures. I was going to get four of those. Leonardo, Donatello, Raphael, and Michelangelo with the four DVDs. But I didn't. I don't know. I just didn't. Again, money, you know, I really shouldn't have spent anything. But, you know, whatever. So, I actually didn't, wasn't too impressed with Universe Cyclonus at first, before I actually saw him in the store. I had seen several, YouTube reviews of him, and it seemed to me the color was off, or the whoever was doing the review, the camera was bad or something, so I wasn't really too thrilled. When I went to Target and I saw him, I really liked it. He is not actually on my desk at this time. He is in the second bedroom, which right now is the catch-all room, but it will eventually become a den/display room where hopefully I can put up some shelving and start displaying my collection. So, yeah, that's pretty much all that's going on with me. I still need to get two more DVD shelves to put up in the bedroom for my DVD collection. So I think right now the Transformers collection, the toy collection, and the DVD collection will most likely stay in their boxes in the kitchen. Yeah, and the catch-all room, the second bedroom right now, looks like crap. There's stuff everywhere. There's furniture in there. There's just a whole bunch of crap. So, yeah. So, let's get into some episodes today.
I'm sorry, there are only three of you. Clobbering less than four Decepticons at a time is boring.
You won't be bored for long, Optimus Prime. Soundwave, eject Laserbeak. Target Optimus Prime. Laserbeak, you tinfoil turkey. Laserbeak, hold your fire! I want holographic views of Optimus Prime from every angle, but do not harm him! The Autobots themselves will punish him for us when the time is right. Excellent! The fallen gladiator is very photogenic. Transmit holograms! Perfect. Now to begin the cloning process. It is Optimus Prime. Nonsense! This is a clone of our enemy. A perfect replica down to the last transistor. But there is one important difference. I control this Optimus Prime. I am Optimus Prime.
I am Optimus Prime.
Leader of the Autobots.
Leader of the Autobots.
And at Megatron's command.
And at Megatron's command.
I will lead them to their doom. Optimus!
You okay?
I will be.
Must have jarred my equilibrium chips in the fall.
But they're stabilized. Now,
let's finish these Decepticons.
Hey, perfect timing! The creeps are retreating!
Autobots, transform! Return to headquarters!
I must have blacked out. Where is everybody?
First up today is a prime problem to synopsize this episode. We open this episode with Megatron, Soundwave, and Starscream standing in a crevice in the Earth where raw energy is emitting from. Soundwave sends a scout cassette down to the crevice to investigate what the energy is. They find out that it is Corlonium crystals, whatever the hell those things are. The most dangerous and raw energy on Earth. Megatron warns Starscream to stay back, because the energy is very unstable. Then Starscream suggests that they trick Optimus Prime and the Autobots into heading into their doom, to the deadly crevice of Corlonium crystals. Should be an R, not a O. Megatron states that the real Prime would never do something so foolish. The Autobots arrive at... Boy, was I really screwing up on this script. at the crystal crevice, and Cliffjumper wants to jump right in and see what the energy source is. Prime stops him and says, take readings first to see what they're up against. Then Starscream and the rest of the Decepticons attack them. Inside the temporary Decepticon base, Megatron tells Soundwave to release Laserbeak and have him attack Optimus Prime. After doing this, Megatron instructs Laserbeak to get holographic images of every angle of Optimus Prime. The evil Decepticon leader then makes a clone of the Autobot leader that only he can control. The clone is sent out and takes the Autobots back to their base. Excuse me, folks. I wonder if I can go through an episode without actually freaking yawning. Meanwhile, the real Optimus Prime awakens and wonders where everyone is. The fake Prime cannot get Teletran working, and he mistakes Ironhide for Bumblebee. The real Prime is entering the base, but the alarms go off. The Autobots and Spike can't tell them apart as to who is the real, so they set up some tests to see who is the genuine article. The Decepticons produce false readings for Teletran to pick up, sending the Autobots and both Primes to the Energy Crevice. Spike and Windcharger see Starscream and Laserbeak come right out of the mountain, and they want to try and get into it. Laserbeak returns Starscream... Oh, yeah. What happened was Starscream ran off... Excuse me. He ran off, and Megatron wanted him back, and the whole power struggle thing. So Megatron sent Laserbeak after him. So Laserbeak brings Starscream back to Megatron, and the leader tells him...
Holy shit. I'm sorry, folks.
I just slept, like, I don't know, 9.5 hours. I don't know why the hell I'm tired. But anyway, Megatron and the leader tells him of the plan for the Prime clone to kill the Starscream clone. That way the Autobots will trust the clone and follow him into the energy crevice. Windcharger and Spike attempt to escape the Decepticon base, but Laserbeak grabs Spike as Windcharger falls out the door and into the crevice. Starscream's clone challenges the Optimus Prime clone to a battle, and when the Prime clone wins, the Autobots then decide to follow him. However, when Windcharger comes up from the crevice, he says that they're being led into a trap. The only reason why he did survive was that he transformed, and his rubber tires insulated him from the dangerous energy.
Oh, shit.
Of the Corlonium crystals. The Autobots destroy the clone, and the Decepticons escape in their ship, but not without dropping Spike into the air. Power Glide saves him, and he asks if it's really Optimus Prime, and the episode ends. Now for my thoughts on this episode. Let's see. Episode first, this time around, we see Power Glide at the very end, when he saves Spike. Also, I believe this is the first episode we see Inferno, the fire truck. Other than that, I really don't have any more notes. This was one of those episodes where I just started watching again, and as I said in episode 6, I swear I'm not slacking off. It's just I haven't watched these in so long that, I just kind of started watching them, so on to the next episode.
We're fortunate this time, Megatron. Next time, your wild scheme to tap the Earth's core could destroy us all.
But if I succeed, Starscream, and I will, we Decepticons will possess an energy source richer than any in the galaxy. The molten might of this planet itself.
It's too dangerous. The Earth is a sphere like this boulder, and it too will shatter. Eradicating everything, including us!
You underestimate me, Starscream. Come! Follow me!
Sure, right through that solid rock, I suppose.
That's the general idea.
What? The rock wall is a hologram, a projected image.
Designed to hide this secret from prying optical sensors. A space bridge to Cybertron. It is our emergency escape route.
Then if the drill does shatter the Earth...
So be it. We will be safe, each and every last one of us. Those Autobots must be annihilated before they can transmit our location. Constructicons, transform and merge into... Devastator!
Headquarters.
I may shatter when I hit, but the Decepticons will never find my pieces.
Keep drilling! We must reach the Earth's core on schedule!
Unbelievable! Got to get word of this to headquarters or bye-bye planet Earth!
Heck, and I have an answer for that, Optimus Prime. A Dominator disc to override Devastator's circuits.
And bring him under our control.
Devastator? Under Autobot control?
Sure. We secretly place one of these on each of the Constructicons. When they all join together...
Zap! Our Dominator discs will make Devastator ours.
Up next is the core. To synopsize this episode... The Decepticons have a drilling operation in progress to drill into the Earth's core, but the drill almost explodes. There is a patrol of Autobots nearby, and they investigate the rerouted river. Devastator attempts to kill the Autobots, and Mirage sneaks into the drilling operation and gets critical information that Optimus Prime needs. The Autobot patrol heads back to base, and Wheeljack and Chip have come up with a Dominator disc. What they've done is they've come up with Dominator discs to control all six of the Constructicons. So once these things are placed on each individual Constructicon and they merge to become Devastator, it will allow the Autobots to control him. The Autobots head out to the falls and the drilling site where the Decepticons are... The Autobots head out to the falls, drilling... Decepticons. The Autobots head out to the falls and the drilling site where the Decepticons are. They hide and plant the Dominator discs on the Constructicons. However, Megatron is wise to their plan. He has allowed the Autobots to think that they have the Constructicons under their control. However, he has a nullifier control unit to disrupt the Autobots' Dominator discs at any time he chooses. Megatron has also stored enough water so the drilling can continue for the Decepticons' last run to reaching the Earth's core. Back at Autobot headquarters, the Constructicons are helping the Autobots with repairs. Earthquakes start up again, and the Autobots realize that somehow Megatron has resumed drilling. They head for the drill site with Devastator in tow, and the battle begins, but Megatron brings Devastator back under Decepticon control, and the Autobots attempt to get control to save themselves, but it overloads Devastator's circuits. And he goes berserk, destroying the drilling controls. The Decepticons are going to escape in their secret space bridge as the entire cavern comes down on both Autobots and Decepticons. The two factions must work together to bring Devastator back under control, even though both sides are reluctant to work together. It's the only way to save themselves. The Constructicons merge once more, and Devastator stops the drill, but the Decepticons escape without him, and he follows after them. Chip was hoping that Devastator would be an Autobot, and Prime tells him to hold on to his dreams. That wraps this one up. Now for my thoughts on this episode. Now, this episode, there weren't too many firsts, like any new characters showcased. However, it was primarily a Constructicon slash Devastator episode, which, that in itself was pretty cool. Megatron had a really good backup plan, and even though Starscream was very skeptical, it would have worked if Devastator wouldn't have went berserk. I know that these early seasons of the show were set to show the struggle on Earth, but I would have loved to see more battles between the Autobots and Decepticons on Cybertron. I think that would have been really, really cool.
Megatron's fur is nearly complete.
And when it is, we'll be able to bite into the energy reserves of the world!
A bold concept, Insecticlowns! But you gave me over!
No! He'll set off the Nova Power explosion!
But there's no time for belly aching,
Optimus, 30 seconds and the Insecticons go off!
Megatron, you've got to transform!
I'll transform you! Molecules of melted metal! I'm shrinking! Let's get out of here with Soundwave!
Not a chance, kickback!
In 10 seconds, the Nova Power Core you ate is going to explode!
Something's gonna explode, but it's not gonna be yours truly! Now you'll learn what happens to those who stand in the way of the Insecticons! You fast Prime! I think.
But not for Shrapnel. I'm only sorry I didn't squash the stupid bug myself.
We're not that easy to squash, Megatron. We Insecticons know how to get it together.
What's going on? What happened?
Megatron will tell you, Starscum!
After the traitors, they defied me! Those pesters may escape!
Gee, the Insecticons gave us a lot of trouble, didn't they? But they seem to bug Megatron even more.
Up next is the Insecticon Syndrome, to synopsize this episode. We begin this episode with Bumblebee, Beachcomber, and Hound racing to where some large trees have been destroyed. Beachcomber is carrying a couple of forest rangers, and the ranger is very skeptical of giant insect robots. The Insecticons are still hungry, so they head for the redwood section of the forest. The rangers at the ranger station do not believe what they are seeing. Megatron and the Decepticons are searching for the Insecticons. Even though the leader doesn't trust them, he needs them for his plan. Afterwards, he'll double-cross them and exterminate them. The Insecticons cause a tree to rumble and roll down the hill to where the Autobots are running, and we see them going over the waterfall nearby. However, it is just one of Hound's holograms, and Spike and Bumblebee overhear the Decepticon plan to feed the Insecticons at the Nova power plant, because Megatron wants them to break into the defense military base at Iron Mountain. The Autobots back at the base get this news, and they roll out to stop the Decepticons. At the Nova power plant, the Insecticons break in while the Decepticons stop the humans and Autobots. The battle begins, and during the battle, Soundwave spies on the Insecticons. He finds that they plot treason. However, they capture him and make him their slave with Bombshell's Cerebro Shell. The Autobots find out that the Nova power core that the Insecticons fed on is incompatible with their stomachs, and they'll explode at any time. If they explode inside Iron Mountain, it will blow the installation sky high. After gaining access to the Iron Mountain computers, Megatron and the Decepticons proceed to turn on the Insecticons, but Bombshell has them all under his control except Megatron. The Autobots and Decepticons must work together to get the Insecticons back under control and not have them explode. Shrapnel explodes, however, but the Insecticons bring him back to life and fly off. The Decepticons give chase, and the episode ends. Now for my thoughts on this episode. This was a very fast and short synopsis, I know. This wasn't an episode that I didn't really... I was pretty much indifferent on this episode. I like seeing the Insecticons every now and then. They're pretty cool, so... the episode... this episode introduced Beachcomber. It's funny. Even though this Season 2 opening sequence shows Blitzwing and Astrotrain, I have yet to notice them in any of the... Season 2 episodes. Astrotrain has always been my favorite Decepticon because he is a triple changer. As I stated way back in episode 2 or 3 of the podcast, these Decepticon power struggles are wearing thin on me. First Starscream and Megatron, now Megatron and the Decepticons versus the Insecticons. Ugh. Up next is... Now we come to Dinobot Island Part 1. To synopsize this episode, we start this episode with Power Glide and Bumblebee, who has a jetpack flying out to investigate some energy waves that are sending Teletran's readings off the scale. Power Glide decides to do some fancy flying, and both he and Bumblebee hit the energy waves and are transported to an island with real-life dinosaurs on it. They are very puzzled by this and begin exploring the island a bit. However, a T-Rex comes upon them, and they fly out of there. Back at Autobot headquarters, on the other side of the energy waves, Wheeljack is trying to convince the other Autobots that he can teach the Dinobots to be more agile and have some finesse. He demonstrates this with Grimlock's laser breath. That's the wrong key. The problem is Blaster's choice in music. It confuses Slag and Sludge, and they get into it with Grimlock, and all hell breaks loose. Prime gets Grimlock to end the chaos, but Prime also says that the Dinobots are just too big to train in the base. Bumblebee suggests the prehistoric island that he and Powerglide found. Prime thinks that it's an excellent idea. Soundwave and Ravage spy on the Autobots heading to Dinobot Island. Megatron wants to learn more about the mysterious island, and he has Soundwave send Laserbeak to investigate. All the Dinobots love the island. Spike wanders off and gets caught by a flying dinosaur. Swoop must save him, and Spike promises to be more careful. But he gets trapped again in a pool of water with a Brontosaurus. Spike gets free and swims towards Sludge. Powerglide and Spike leave to go back to headquarters. The Decepticons learn of what Dinobot Island is, and they want to plunder the resources, so they leave for the island. On Dinobot Island, the Dinobots are practicing their skills, honing them so that they can come back to Autobot headquarters. Grimlock instructs the other Dinobots on what tests to perform. The Decepticons arrive at the island, and Starscream is still very worried and skittish about being there because of the energy waves that they pass through to reach the island. Swoop sees the Decepticons on the island and reports this back to Grimlock. They then decide to get rid of the Decepticons back on the right side of the planet, where all types of time warps are opening up, with strange things coming out of them, like woolly mammoths and cavemen and British soldiers from the 1800s. The Autobots realize that this is caused by the Decepticon energy draining operation on Dinobot Island. Megatron gets the real dinosaurs to stampede the Dinobots into a tar pit, and this brings this episode to a thrilling conclusion, as it is to be continued. Now for my thoughts on this episode. Oh wait, never mind. Episode end. Sorry. Whoops. Stop.
As the Decepticons plunder the island's resources, strange time warps appear in the rest of the world, and the Autobots must find a way to stop Megatron, all in the exciting conclusion of Dinobot Island.
Now for my thoughts on Dinobot Island, Part 1. This is the second episode we see Inferno. In the first episode, we see Blitzwing, Blaster, and Red Alert. Seeing the Dinobots amongst other dinosaurs was really cool, and seeing them attempt to train was a good character development for them. Other than that, I really don't remember too much about this episode being either good or bad. As I've said before in other podcast episodes, the animation is slowly getting better throughout the series, throughout season 2. So, yeah. Those are my thoughts for Dinobot Island Part 1.
The exile of the Dinobots to a mysterious island leads Megatron to tremendous primal energy sources. But has he sealed the fate of the Earth as well as that of the Dinobots?
Up next is Dinobot Island, Part 2. To synopsize this episode, we begin the conclusion to the Dinobot Island saga, with the Decepticons still proceeding with the energy-draining operation. Even though Starscream is still skeptical about the time and space ramifications, Megatron has no time for such scientific gobbledygook. And yes, folks, that is a direct quote from Megatron. On the other side of the planet, the Autobots learn what is going on with the time warps. The Autobots get to where Spike and Bumblebee were, and they learn of the time warp and prehistoric man and woolly mammoth appear through the warp. The Autobots try to do something with these creatures, but they don't want to hurt them. The Autobots load them into Optimus Prime's trailer, but the Autobot leader sees that the time warp is closing. They need to get the animals and cave people back through the time warp so they are not trapped in today's world forever. Back at the Autobot base, we are introduced to Perceptor, and Teletran 1 alerts the Autobots that two time warps have opened at the same time. Seaspray, Trax, and Cliffjumper arrive at one of the warps and get the pirate ship back through the warp as it closes. Red Alert, Jazz, Prowl, and Inferno get the cowboys back in the second time warp. Back at the Autobot base, Chip learns that and informs Optimus Prime that the energy disruptions are on Dinobot Island. Optimus and a few of the other Autobots head out for the island to stop the energy-draining operation by the Decepticons. The Dinobots escape the tar pits and go after the Decepticons. The Autobots arrive on Dinobot Island, and the battle begins between the two armies. Let's see. The Dinobots get the real dinosaurs to help them beat the Decepticons. The Decepticons are defeated, and the Autobots release the energy that was collected to restore the time equilibrium. The Dinobots have proven their worth in battle, and they can control their powers, so they'll remain at Autobot headquarters from now on. And the episode ends. Now for my thoughts on this episode. New characters introduced. I had mentioned it earlier. Perceptor, Smokescreen, Seaspray, Warpath, Dirge, Thrust, and Ramjet. I like this episode the most out of the ones I've reviewed today, because of all the new characters that have been introduced. Watching the Dinobots harness their power and become better at fighting was very cool. I liked seeing Grimlock be a leader, sort of, and seeing the prehistoric creatures and people and dinosaurs was very cool, too. Spike is always getting in the way, even more so in these episodes. He just... I don't know. He's just like... I hate to compare him to any of the humans from, like, Armada or Energon, but, I mean, Spike is, like, really just getting on my nerves. He needs to hurry up and grow up. So, up next is...
If that stolen energy is taken from this area, this entire galaxy could crumble. Yeah, try telling that to them.
You were a fool to come here, Optimus Prime! And fools pay a heavy price! Prime!
I'm okay. Repair systems. Already compensating for damage.
Great! Then let's make the Decepticons Decepticrons! Resist! Terminate them! Reduce them to lithium litter!
Attack from the sky!
I hope we don't destroy this place before we can study it. Ooh, wow!
Hang in there, Beachcomber! Here comes the cavalry!
We attack Decepticons now?
Yes, but not alone. Me, Grimlock Smart! Inspired dumb dinosaurs fight too!
They inspired, all right. Now we fight together.
Victory is near. I want to savor this moment. Never mind the Autobots! Repel those monsters!
Ooh.
If only one Decepticon survives this assault, it shall be I. No! It is impossible! I saw you buried beneath the Dire Pits!
You wrong! And you ugly too!
Retreat, Decepticons! This battle has been lost!
Now perhaps we can restore the time flow to normal by releasing the energy stolen from this island. The Dinobots have not only proved they can control their powers, they have also demonstrated that they have great value to our cause. They will remain at Autobot headquarters from now on.
Well, that's all for this episode of the TFG1 podcast. Join me next time when I'll be reviewing 5 more episodes from Transformers Generation 1 Season 2, those being The Master Builder, Auto Berserk, Microbots, Megatron's Master Plan Part 1, and Megatron's Master Plan Part 2. Thank you for joining me on the TFG1 podcast. There are 4 ways to get in touch with me or leave feedback for the podcast. The first is that you can visit the PredaconEmpire.com forums and get all your Transformers discussion topics there. The second is that you can follow me on Twitter. My name on there is TFG1 Podcast. The third is you can visit the www.earth-2.net forums. That's www.earth-2.net. I have a thread over there for the podcast. And the fourth and final thing you can do is the email address, which is tfg1podcast@gmail.com. For now, I am Michael Blanchard, saying in the immortal words of Optimus Prime, transform and roll out, and thank you for listening. Until next time.
What's going on, Autobots and Decepticons? This is Mike Captain Awesome Dodd from TheGameHeroes.com, and you are listening to the TFG1 podcast, the best Transformers podcast on the net today.